Just the other day, Mikal Bridges signed quite a large contract extension of over $150 million per, with an annual average value of $37 million. And many Bulls fans since that time have been asking me in the comment section and on social media, does that do anything for Josh Giddey and his contract negotiations with the Bulls? We'll talk a little bit about that today. And reportedly, the Lakers are also keeping their eye out and monitoring Nikola Vucevic's situation with the Bulls. We'll talk about all that, plus dive into the mailbag and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host here, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. I got a quick one here, right? I was asked by several Bulls fans, and I didn't cover it on yesterday's episode, which was the first episode after Mikal Bridges' contract was signed, mainly because I'm not necessarily seeing the correlation. But I do. It is mailbag episode, so that means that I can start this off, even though it wasn't an official voicemail sent in. And I want to respond to that. Does Mikal Bridges' contract have anything to do with Josh Giddey's contract negotiations? No, not in my opinion. I think that the Knicks were in a unique situation where, A, most of their roster's pretty locked in, right? And they are clearly trying to make a go of it with this version of the roster, so they wanted to lock it in with I think Josh Hart's the first one whose contract comes up out of their core group of players, so they locked in that core. They maintained some flexibility with being under the second tax apron. He took less than his max. That saved them room under the second tax apron, because I do think they're going to look to move Mitchell Robinson or some other player during the season, and that's all perfectly fine. But I don't think that it really plays into it. When you look at it, Mikal Bridges has proven a lot more than what Josh Giddey has on the court. Again, my Josh Giddey stands. Do not start typing and getting upset. I am in no way even comparing them as players, even remotely. I'm not even getting into that conversation. I just mean that in the situation and position that Mikal Bridges has been in over his career, he's more so been able to play his game, which he has a reputation of being a really good defender, even though he slid a little bit last year. He's also a player that, until last season, I think he was coming off three straight years of averaging over 20 points per game. And the Knicks gave up, five first-round picks for him? And so there's a little bit of they don't want to risk losing him for nothing, even though they could have looked to flip him based off him being an expiring contract. They probably wouldn't have got anything near what they gave up for him, but there's a little bit of that trying to maintain value because of what you gave up for him. And maybe that part plays into it a little bit with Josh Giddey as well. The Bulls don't want to lose him for nothing, considering that they traded one of their best assets in Alex Caruso to get him. But I just think the monetary value, they're in two very different places. Mikal Bridges has been in the league since 2018. Just keep that in mind. 2018, he's been in the league since, even though, you know, he's still a relatively young player at 28 years old, but he's proven a lot more than Josh Giddey over that time. Now, there's reasons for that. That's why I said I'm not comparing the two players at all, but I think that if you would have given, let's say Josh Giddey and Mikal Bridges were both unrestricted free agents, Mikal's always going to get more. With the reputation of being a two-way player, what he's done at times scoring-wise, he's going to get more than what Josh Giddey, mainly because, as we talked about before, Josh Giddey has been in situations in OKC where he had to fit in a roster that wasn't necessarily the best fit for him, right? And not to say they should have changed everything to be around Josh Giddey, but it wasn't necessarily the best fit for him. He didn't play his role to start off the season here either. Zach LaVine still here and Nikola Vucevic playing the way that they did on top of the injury that happened. So I think circumstantially, there's not even really much that even Josh Giddey's camp can use the Mikal Bridges contract for, even in a ploy negotiation, in my opinion. Now, if somebody like Cam Thomas or somebody like Jonathan Kuminga signs a deal like that, then maybe you have a little bit more leverage to use that on, if that makes a little bit of sense. So for those that have been asking me that, I wanted to go into detail on it, on why. And, you know, the fact that we haven't, as of yet, got an update on Josh Giddey's contract situation, we'll see what happens there. And with my luck, as soon as I post this video, Josh Giddey contract extension is going to come down. But even with all of that, I still look at it and I say, you know, Josh Giddey and the Bulls, their situation is very unique. A, one season with the Chicago Bulls, not to say that that wasn't also a Mikal Bridges situation, but Josh was also coming off a situation where, even before the Bulls, where there was some doubt about, you know, what he was in the NBA. And he hasn't been a player that's really gotten, I have no doubt, and I want to be clear here. If Josh Giddey was on a team where he had gotten to play point guard for the last 4 years, regardless of the makeup of that team, I do think that more of this conversation would be leaning to that, even with Josh Giddey's flaws, because you would have gotten to see him play more to the strengths that he has, which is perfectly fine. And, you know, it is what it is. And the Bulls also, because of being a restricted free agent, the market is what it is. You know, we've talked a lot about this. I don't want to rehash that whole point over again. Bulls fans that have been around for a while kind of understand what the market and what everything's dictating with this. But, yeah, I don't think the Mikal Bridges contract at all really speaks to anything good or bad with the Josh Giddey situation. I think Josh Giddey is in a completely and totally different situation than what Mikal Bridges is in, and the Bulls and the Knicks are in two very different places as franchises as well as it stands right now. So I don't really think the comparison is remotely the same. I just don't think that it is. But, hey, maybe you guys feel a little bit differently on it. Please do not hesitate to sound off down below on how you feel about that, and let me know what you guys think. With that said, let's move into the second topic for today. This one comes, kind of a surprise. According to Anthony Irwin of Clutch Points, he says that the Los Angeles Lakers will keep tabs on how Vucevic's final season plays out with the Bulls. This does leave a few interesting free agents still, not even including eventual buyout candidates like Chicago's Nikola Vucevic. He's not going to get bought out. We've talked a little bit about that. As they did with Smart, the Lakers are closely monitoring that situation. So, you know, this kind of plays into what Casey Johnson talked about earlier in the week and what I think AK and Eversley are hoping for as well. And that is that there's some hope remaining that Nikola Vucevic may have more of a market near the trade deadline. Now, according to this, and in fairness to what Anthony Irwin actually wrote, it seems like more so they're hoping that Vuce gets bought out or his contract ends, and then they could maybe sniff around what's going to happen there. If I'm not mistaken, I think Luka and Vuce share an agent, or maybe an agency, something like that. So there's some thought there, right? That, you know, maybe they look at that, they monitor what's going on with Vuce, and they end up finding a deal for that. Now, if they're hoping that Vuce's contract is going to expire, though, and then they're going to reach out to Vuce, that kind of goes back into the theory that I gave the other day. I really do think, and that, of course, it would also mean that Vuce would have to be included in that, and because he has to agree to it, right? But I do think that if the Bulls can't find a trade destination for Vuce that makes sense to them, that they could re-sign him to a reasonable contract and thus try to move him in the in the offseason for a team that probably would have signed him to a reasonable contract anyway, right? I don't think Vuce is going to get $20 million on his next deal. I could be wrong on that, but I just don't think that with his age declining, things like that. And I think if Vuce wants to join a contender, he's probably not going to get that money anyway, right? And so, therefore, if the Bulls and Nikola Vucevic sit down at the table near the trade deadline and they say, listen, Vuce, we're going to give you the money that you're probably going to get out, but, you know, we want to try to maintain our assets. Let's go ahead and sign this contract, and Vuce is down, and the Bulls move him. And, you know, and I think a little bit, I think that may have been Lonzo as well. Like, I think Lonzo may have known that the Bulls were probably going to shop him this offseason, even when he signed that contract, and it kind of locked him in. It basically gives the player security, right? Because especially with Lonzo, his season ended with an injury. Had it ended with the injury, he probably wouldn't even got the $10 million that the Bulls signed him to. So, you know, I think there's some business left to be done there as well. But hearing that a team like the Lakers monitoring what happens with Nikola Vucevic isn't really too surprising there. I think there are going to be a lot of teams looking at Vuce and saying, hey, if Vuce hits free agency, or if he does get bought out because that rumor blew up more than what it really needed to, if he does get bought out, maybe there's business to be done here to where it makes sense of us going out there and getting him and adding him to this team at a reasonable price. The Bulls could try to foresee that and then, again, get him into a contract extension, find out what happens at that point in time. So, look, there's a lot of little maneuvers that can happen again. But I do love the fact that Casey Johnson came out. Like, a buyout is probably not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The chances of a buyout are not likely. And that's why I do think that there is a case for either extension or a team making a move at the trade deadline that figures that out if that ends up happening. So, you know, I think that Vuce is going to have his suitors. It would be really surprising to me if no team is interested in even a defensive liability, but a player that can go out there and get you 18 and 11 with solid passing, especially if you have a solid defensive team around and presence around him. And so we'll end up seeing what happens with that. The Lakers, they're a team that, you know, we'll see what happens. They got DeAndre Ayton there. Maybe they look at Vuce as coming off the bench or something like that. We shall see. I do think it makes some sense for him to play with Luka, even though They would need some better wing defenders and perimeter defenders there. Would have been nice for them to hold on to Dorian Finney-Smith, right? But I don't think, for example, that there's going to be I don't think Vooch is going to be bought out. And so hearing that a team like the Lakers are monitoring Vooch's situation, cool, keep watching. But that watching may have to end with you for trading for him, my boy. That's what it may have to end up giving. Give us something back. And I think that's really, if the Bulls were to maneuver, even get to the trade deadline, I think at that point their focus may shift from getting the most back to let's just get something back so we don't lose him for nothing. But then again, AK and Eversley have not shied away from losing players that have had some value for nothing. So I can't even say that in all fairness. So we'll see what ends up happening there. But you guys can let me know how you feel on all of that down below. With that said, it is mailbag day. That means we do have to get into your voicemails. We got four voicemails today. Let's go ahead and get into them. This first one, this one's from Brian Washington.
Yo, what up, Hayes? This is Brian Washington, man. I was watching your show on IO, and I totally agree, man. I think he's going to have a breakout season. Well, I hope he do, you know, because to me, IO is the glue to the Bulls team. You know, right now, he's the heart of the defense. You know what I'm saying? And he kind of reminded me of how Luol Deng was to the Bulls. He was the heart of that defense, and they went and added some more defensive players, you know what I'm saying, to the team. And this year they pretty much did the same thing, hopefully, you know. He's the heart of the defense, man. And as much as I would love for him to start, we know what our starters can do, the ones we know that's going to start, you know what I'm saying. We know what they can do. But we don't know what we're getting from our bench. I would love for Io to be that sixth man still off the bench and competing for a sixth man a year award or most improved player. I want to see him do that. But I love to see him coming off that bench as that sixth man, because we don't know what we're going to get from the bench. You know what I'm saying? This team seems like it's built up pretty decent, you know. But at least we'll know we got a sure thing coming off the bench for sure. When the starters is out, you know what I'm saying? He's becoming a veteran, you know what I'm saying? He's a leader. He played tough, you know? So, I agree with you. I think he's going to have a breakout season, man, and if not in points. And you say you like to see him attack more. That's what he used to do in high school. Like, I was an attack the basket type guy, you know what I'm saying? He was an attack the basket player. You know what I'm saying? He got the defense with it, you know. But, that's what I like to see him do, come off the bench and be that leader where the ball is in his hands off that bench. He gets that ball and get in attack mode. I love to see him come off that bench with the way this team built. Yeah, that's good right there. What you think on that, though?
Io having a breakout season, being the glue guy, you know, the heart of the defense, all that. I hope that he goes out there and improves.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
And I think you can't be mad if he goes out there and shows that and steps into that role. He is going to have potentially that role coming in where he's going to be one of the important two-way pieces off that bench, or potentially even in the starting lineup. So we'll see, right? Now, I do think that when you look at it, you got Io, Okoro, Modest, Noah. You know, if he gets minutes, P. Will, like, those can be the solid defenders on this Bulls team. You know, if Modest takes a step up defensively, And you're going to need some of those defenders on this team. This team has to make a considerable step defensively if they really want to be better, as long as with that refinement I talked about on yesterday's episode of the offense. I think if you can get that, I think that's really good, right? Now, regardless of Io starts or not, I think he's going to be getting starter-level minutes because he's one of the few two-way players that we have, true two-way players that we have on this team that also fit with the high-paced style that Billy Donovan and this team has really trying to perfect over the last year. So I think there's going to be a huge role for Io, and he can use that to have what it could be labeled as a breakout season, and we just got to see. And good point for you saying that he's one of the leaders on this team, because Io is one of the leaders on this team, and he really has kind of taken on more of a leadership role basically since his second year. So we'll see what that holds up. But great voicemail, Brian. Great voicemail. Let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Rob.
What up, Hayes? It's Big Rob. Many blessings to you and your family, my brother. I was watching your video. Today is like Tuesday night when I'm sending you this voicemail, but when you're talking about the loyalty and how things are going, and I understand Bulls fans, we want Reinsdorf to sell, you know, which you say is will happen. I will say this, though, there is an asterisk to that. I truly do believe that once they finish building around the United Center, obviously they spent billions of dollars with them and the Blackhawks to build around the structure where it would be more of a tourist attraction, then I can see them selling it, but that won't be for another 5 to 6 years. And it won't be probably as much as the Lakers, but it's going to be pretty close, which leads to this. You talk about being loyal to a flaw, which is nice, but the problem is when people are loyal, there's a difference between loyalty and respect, at least in my eyes, where if I respect you, I'll tell you the truth, versus the loyalty where, yeah, you could be with someone for years and years on end, but if they're not producing to a level and the standard that it's supposed to be, then obviously you're always going to end up in purgatory, which the Bulls are. I have a lot of respect for Billy Donovan. I think he's earned his stripes as a college coach. Obviously, when he went to OKC, he's earned his stripes, you know, because obviously he got them to the as far as he can go. But during that period when KD left and Westbrook left, you saw he's been kind of just teetering. The only thing I can just ask out of everybody, and I hope, you know, if you clarify anything for me if I'm speaking wrongly, it's just that I just believe that we'll make the playoffs in several years from now, probably be bottom eight team. But I just think right now, if they were going to rebuild, they should have did that in the very beginning when AK took over and not try to sign DeMar and Zach and having Lonzo Ball. It worked for a brief period, but then you see how it turned out. And we all kind of just saw the product being just getting by. And after a while, getting by can only take you so far. And I understand as Bulls fans, we're always going to root for our team. I respect that. I just wish that ownership will want more for themselves. Just let me know what you think. Appreciate the time. God bless you.
Bulls getting caught up too much with loyalty. I mean, listen, here's the thing. I know you said that maybe they will sell the team. Jerry told his kids that if he were to die, sell the Sox, but don't sell the Bulls. So I just don't think that even the project as far as revamping the West Side, downtown Chicago, I still don't think that the Reinsdorfs are going to sell the Bulls within any of our lifetimes. I think they're going to keep selling. But then again, to your point, I wouldn't have thought that the Lakers would have been sold either. So anything is possible, right? So I'm talking more about the probability. I don't think the probability of the Reinsdorf selling the Bulls are happening anytime soon, right? So that's just my opinion. But you said as far as Billy Donovan and respect, I think Billy Donovan earned tons of respect. It wasn't even the Russ teams or anything like that. To me, it was the Chris Paul team that won, that had 44 wins. When teams just looked at that like, oh yeah, they're clearly going to be a tanking team. They're clearly going to be a bad team. And, you know, Billy Donovan isn't a terrible coach. And that's why I say those things. He's not terrible. Some people make you out to be. But the question that you have to ask yourself is how far can you go with Billy? And that's a question that the Bulls, as long as they feel like the roster isn't in a great spot, can convince themselves of otherwise. But when they finally get this roster mostly together. I think they're going to find out quickly thereafter that you're probably going to need to switch coaches if you want to get over the hump. But hey, we got to get to the hump first before we can worry about getting over it. And maybe that's a thought process between this front office and things like that. And we'll see how that shakes out. But great voicemail, Rob. Thank you for leaving that. Let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Larry.
What up, hey? This is Larry. Call in. You know, I know you're getting a whole bunch of this Giddy stuff, when he's going to sign and all that kind of deal. We don't know. But the way I'm looking at it now, it's been so long and kind of changed my mind on it. I kind of hope that he takes the qualifying offer. Not a good deal for him. He probably should lock in some guaranteed money. But for the Bulls, we get a whole season to see what him and Kobe look like. If they look great together, we still got the bird rights, and we still have the ability to offer them the more money and the option of the fifth year, even if it's a player option for both of them. You know, we go into the year with that. I hope that that's what happens, because other than finding out, you know, who's going to be here long term, that's really all next season is. I mean, there's no guarantee we even make the playoffs, and you know, it's going to be a weird year to look at. But that's kind of what I'm hoping happens now. Giddy takes a qualifying offer. We get to see what Kobe, Modest, and Giddy look like for a year.
Here's the thing. I don't know. I get what you're getting at, and I get your logic, right? But I don't think that that's even necessarily the best for the Bulls, because think about it this way. Yes, they have bird rights, but bird rights aren't matching rights. And you can give them the extra year on the deal, sure, but the money basically that you would be able to offer Josh Giddey at that point is basically the same money that another team, you just could offer more money because of the extra year that you can put on that. So that's a big risk to take, because to your point, if he takes the qualifying offer and him and Kobe ball out, then you have two of your players that just balled out and your veteran-ish players, and Kobe, right, he's that, and a young up-and-coming and promising player who, in your mind, would have shown something, then another full year of that, that's an unrestricted free agent with tons of teams with cap space. Like, keeping that in mind, there are tons of teams with true cap space next season. So I don't think that that's a thing, man. I don't know if that's a better out for the Bulls to play out for him to take the qualifying offer. And I think that's why you hear that the Bulls do want to work out a long-term deal, because they also realize that it may not be best for Josh Giddey to take the qualifying offer. Sure, it alleviates you having to pay him up front and gives you another year, but it also gives other teams another year to see, oh, hey, Josh Giddey actually is pretty good. While right now, seems like teams are like, hey, it was an end-of-season run. But if you give another season where Josh Giddey is starting off with his role and maybe able to pick up of what he did last year and more teams with cap space, then just like it would convince you more, it may convince other teams more that he's risk going in, that he's worth going in on. And at that point, then it turns into a bidding war. And I don't know how many of those the Bulls have ever won in their history. So you got to think about that part, Larry. But again, I understand your logic on it completely. All right, let's get into the last voicemail here, man. This one's from Shay.
What's up, Hey? This is Shay. Look, I'm going to give you a hot take, and I want you to really think about this. I know I say think about it for a second, but really think about this. Do you think AK really cares more about, I believe he cares more about how long a player's wingspan is than he cares about the actual size that we actually need when it comes to the player position. Now, that's okay a lot of times, but that could also hurt us. And when you look at it, what I'm saying is pretty valid. Think about it. We had DJJ playing the center spot at one point. Instead of getting the center this year, we got Noah Asenge, when we definitely needed a center that, like, badly. Hell, even with our point guards, Giddey has a little bit of a long wingspan, even though he has size, but he has a long wingspan. A little bit of a long wingspan, where that's more of his height. But for the most part, to get back to the original conversation, AK really cares more about if you have a long wingspan as a player more than the actual size. Because if he didn't, you would see us by not having a shot blocker on his team at the center spot. But due to the fact that he feels like he has guys like Isaac Okoro, Patrick Williams, and like many of these other guys, hell, even with Dalen Terry, long wingspan, but he feels like the point of attack defense is due to the fact that we have a lot of those, he feels like we don't need an inside rim protector. That's just what I'm getting based off of what we drafted throughout the years. But hey, I could be wrong because I've been wrong many a time. Anyway, tell me.
See,
what
I don't know if I agree with you, right? Especially by how you ended. You ended it said, especially with the players that he drafted. If you look at the players that he drafted, they all have really good positional size. Patrick Williams had good positional size until you moved into the four. Modest Muzelis is a legit power forward size. Noah Essengay, size is legit. Hell, even when you look at Julian Phillips, his size is legit to be a forward, right? And I think the thing more so than saying that they valued wingspan over anything is that AK must just not value the center position. I think that's the bigger thing here. Much like I said with Ryan Poles, how Ryan Poles didn't really evaluate offensive line talent well. He brought in these piecemeal mediocre pieces of the offensive line and tried to sell it on that's the line that's gonna win you something. I think that AK may just have a blind spot for centers, and maybe that's it. Maybe he just does not evaluate the center position really well, and maybe that's it. I think that that's more of a thing than wingspan. Yes, the players that we've drafted have had decent wingspans, but I think it's positional. They're actually, they actually do have size. Now, when you talk about the players that you brought up, like DJ James, Javonte, right? I think that they played out of position, but more so because of the thinness at the positions that they played in. Like Javonte coming in to play power forward is because we didn't have a lot of legit power forward size players. DJJ playing backup center. Tony Bradley was our backup center then, and DJJ was a lot better than that. When we got Drum, we didn't see as much DJJ at center. So I think that is just a lack of evaluation of the center position overall than it's wing size versus size, if that makes sense. Maybe, right? And Josh Giddey, by the way, does not have a good wingspan for his size. He actually has the short arm thing like Kobe White. But that's the time for today, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and a voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.